It's on page 167. Page 167, Bar Yochai. Yesterday we discussed at length the first two parts of Bar Yochai. Okay, to review, there are 10 Bar Yochai. Was authored by the name, which we learned yesterday. Just very quickly, we went through all these sides from yesterday. The name of the Python is, he actually quotes it over here, Shimon Lavi. And the acrostic can be seen in the first letter, starting with Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. Shin is Shemen. Moishav Mem. Ayin Atse Shitim. Chulu v'chulu. His name is Shimon Lavi. Shimon Lavi. There are 10 parts. There are 10 batim. Each bias has 4 parts. And then there is the Pizmon. The Pizmon has 2 parts. For a grand total of 42 sections. Corresponding to the 42 letters in the Shem Hashem. This is a Kabbalistic piyut. It begins, review we learned yesterday, it begins by the theme is his father, Bar Yochai. His name is not even mentioned. We attribute his greatness to his father. It begins with his father, and it ends with his mother. His mother is Ashrei Yoladetecha. Okay, we also mentioned yesterday that the focus, the pizmon focus on Shemen, because Shemen is Rosh Tevos, Shabbos, Mila, and Nida. These are the three things which Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was successful in the Gzerah. He rescinded the Gzerah. There's a Gzerah in his lifetime, and he was able to rescind the Gzerah through his tefillos, or through his actual being there, and therefore we focus on Shemen. We also mentioned the Levar reason. Shemen does not accept dilution, and Rabbi Shimon did not take any nonsense. He said he spoke about the government the way it is. Everything, that's how he got into trouble. Everything he did is for themselves. They built bridges to collect taxes. They made streets for the Zaynais. He said it the way it is. He was a straight shooter, and just like Shemin does not accept dilution, this was the nature of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the third, there was another idea we mentioned about Shemin, which I forgot already. Okay, let's go where we left off. We're up to the second stanza. Bar Yochai, Moishav Toiv Yoshafta. You have settled in a good place. This refers to the cave. The cave where he lived for 13 years, we're calling it a Moishav Toiv. That's a very shocking thing to say. Who would want to live in a cave for 12, 13 years with no food, no water? But for him, this was Toiv. Toiv is relative to what your values are. Toiv is Torah. Ki lekach Toiv nosati lochem. For him, this was the ultimate good, to be in this state, this situation for 13 years. Yom Nasta, the day that you fled. Yom Borachta. We have two expressions. What does it mean, Yom Nasta, Yom Borachta? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai fled twice. First, he fled for the government. He hid in the Beis Medrash. When he realized that he was in trouble because he said bad things about the government, he fled to the Beis Medrash. And then he realized, he said to his son that, who knows, they might be torturing our wives. Who knows that if the government finds out that our wives, and you, Rabbi Eliezer, your wife and my wife, they're bringing us food, they'll spy on us, and they're going to torture them, they're going to reveal our location. We have no choice but to go into isolation. So he fled a second time into the cave. So that's why it says here twice. First he fled to the Beis Medrash, only his wife and daughter-in-law knew about it, and then he fled to the cave. That's what it means, Yom Nasta, Yom Asher Borachta, the day that you fled. Where did he go to? He went Bima'oras Tsurim, into a cave. An Ar is a cave of rocks. There's a question as far as the Girsa. He only went to one cave. Why does it say here Beloshen Rabin Bima'oras? So some say that he went to the cave twice. He was in the cave for 12 years, and then when he came out, he came back. The Baskel said, "Go back with you." You're right. I already have the wrong Girsa. The Girsa that you have in the Siddur is Bima'oras. The other Girsa the possibly the more correct girsa, at least what it says, bim oirois tsurim, and there's a pasuk. Really, it's based upon the pasuk, and the pasuk it says, bim oirois. I have here in the where I learned everything from the mesifta, bim oirois tsurim, and he says it's a pasuk, and he has a whole discussion. It's the bomaras bim oirois because of the two caves. Now, if you want to go and take a more Kabbalistic twist to this Peter, we mentioned this yesterday. Everything here about Shema Yechoi parallels Moshe Rabbeinu. We basically Bar Yochai is not just a pid about Bar Shema Yochai. It's also, there's a very mystical, very interesting idea, is that when you sing this pid, you're also really singing about Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's a very fascinating thing, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, there was no celebration. When he died, we discussed, when he died, there was mourning. Vayivku, Yisrael, Shloshim, and they mourned. So everyone asked, why is there, when Rashbi, when he dies, the celebration? When Moshe died, there's mourning. So he gave one answer. Moshe did not want to die. Rashbi wanted to go. He couldn't wait to go. That was one answer we gave. But the other approach is, in a Hanami, here we're not just, here we are commemorating Moshe. With Moshe's Petira, there was also celebration. It's just that not at that point in time. That point in time came later, and this period alludes to that. And that's why it says, Bimaros Beloshon, Beloshon Rabim, because both Moshe went into a cave and Rashbi fled into a cave. Okay, when Parshas Kisiso, when Hashem Moshe said, Hareni Nos Kivaydecha, Benikra Satsur, Kesham, there in the cave, Konisu, you acquired Hoitcha Vahadarecha, your splendor and your glory. So Mepharshim tells that the black bomber is Hoit Shebehoit. So Mepharshim says, Hoit really represents Taras Hanistar. Hodar represents Taras Hanigle. And this is a very important point. People make a mistake and they think that Lag BaOmer is all about the Sisrei Torah. There is no such thing as Sisrei Torah without a foundation of Nigla. You can't just have hocus pocus without having the real thing. Plus, over here, the Kina makes mention of that. Hoid the Hadarta, Rashbi was a bucky in both. It's not only Kabbalah. You just can't learn Kabbalah. Kabbalah comes after you already know, you know the basics. Unfortunately, the vast majority of us don't get past the basics, so we don't get to that level where there is Sisrei Torah. But there's no such thing as just learning Kabbalah. You have to first learn the basics. Hoid is Kabbalah. Hodar is an external manifestation of Torah, which is Torah Sanigle. And in the cave, he mastered Hoid and Hodar. Okay, next line. Next line, Bar. This I think, to me, is the most beautiful line. Bar Yochai. Atse Shitim Oimdim. We know that people are trees. Ki Ho'odom Eitz Hasodeh. You cut off the hair of the little children, Lag BaOmer. Why? Because metatem eats. That when you plant a tree, the first 3 years arla. That means a child is a little tree. It's a little tree. A child, a person is a tree, a sapling. Now there are all different types of trees. What is the life expectancy of a tree? I don't know, there are different types of trees. Some trees last 100 years, 150 years, some last 1,000 years. But more or less, every tree has a lifetime. It comes to a point in time when the tree dies. That's the mitzvah. That's the way the world is. But then there are trees that last forever, few and far in between. Now, being that the people, human beings are called trees, every person also has a life expectancy, 120, whatever it is. But then there are human beings that live forever. Now, when we say live forever, we don't mean they'll live forever in this world, but it means they live on. They live on forever in the Olam HaEmes, and that's what it means. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you had Talmidim. Your Talmidim are your trees. And your trees are different types. The people who have become, who are your students, are Atzei Shitim Oimdim. Like the Mishkan. And Chazal Darshan on the word Oimdim, Oimdim Lo'ad, people who have attached themselves to you, Rashbi, to become students of Torah, to become students of Torah Lishma, Harshim Bar Yochai, these are the trees that you have planted, which are Atse Shitim Oimdim, the Oimdim Lo'ad Ulme Olamim. Lemude Hashem Heim Loimdim, they study the teachings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we have something that's a little bit more Kabbalistic, or Mufla, a wondrous light. Or Hayikoid, a light of sparks. Heim Yogdim, do they bring forth? The Talmidim who study your Torah, they bring forth a wondrous light, a light that produces sparks. Now the next part is a very beautiful part of the piyut. Haloi Hema, these students are Yoyrucha Moirecha. Both of these words mean the same thing. They mean they are your teachers. Now that doesn't make sense. How can you say about a student, he is your teacher? But it's not a kasha. We call me Talmidai Yoyser Mikulam. Exactly the point of this piece is making mention that a student is the ultimate teacher. And it's beautifully expressed, and this is an incredibly powerful line. A student is a tree that you've planted. Not just a tree that's here for a couple of days, a couple of years, a couple of decades. It's a student, a Talmud, is a tree that it's atzei shitim. Shitim is the most strongest form of wood, and it's oimdim lo'ad li'olmi olamim, the limudei Hashem him loimdim, they produce an or that's mufla, or ha'yikoit him yoikdim, haloihemo yerucha, and your students are your teachers, the ultimate teachers. Okay, some want to say that it really alludes to Rashbi's two teachers. Who are Rashbi's two main teachers? Eliyahu Hanavi, who came to him and told him, you can leave already, it's time for you to leave the cave, and Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashbi is very much associated with Moshe Rabbeinu, so those are his teachers. Okay, then we go to the next line. Now this is more Kabbalistic. What is the state tapuchim? The apples? The apple refers to Gan Eden. It's a code for Gan Eden. Lil Koit Bo Merchokim, to select, to harvest delicacies or spices. The beautiful things that you've acquired is the spices. So the secret of Torah, Bitzitzim Ufrachim, you've made beautiful, you've brought forth the blossoms and flowers. Tzitzu Perach, the Yoifi of Torah. The Sisrei Torah is described here as the Yoifi, the beauty of Torah, which is described with the word Tzitzu Perach. And now this is something that is very, very mystical, which I think this takes up probably the most space in the Olam Mefarshim, and try to explain this piyut, what this means. Nase Odom Nema Ba'avurecha. When Hashem said, my Sibereshis, Nase Odom, who was Hashem thinking about? Who was the crown jewel of mankind? Rashbi. Now, why? Why? What about Moshe? What about Avraham? What about David? What about you here in this room? why is he the one? Nase Adam Nema Ba'avurecha. I don't have a good answer. A lot of them first ask, it's a nice expression, but why? Explain it. Give us more elaboration. Why is Rashbi the person upon whom the Paitan was confident to say that he is the one that Hashem had in mind when he created man? The Avos, what about the Avos? What about the Ishei HaTanach? You can go, there's a long list of candidates that you would submit for being the Nase Adam. I don't know. Okay, now let's go. Now the next line seemingly relates to his life story. His life story is he was locked up in a cave. Why was he locked up in the cave? Because he was an honest man. Nezarta bigvura, you girded yourself with might. In other words, you said it the way it is. You weren't afraid of the government. The government, everything that they do for their own benefit. They don't do it l'shem shemayim. It takes a lot of gevura to speak up, to be a whistleblower. Right? He was the ultimate whistleblower. You're taking credit for everything in this world to the government. You think you're the greatest in the world. It's baloney. You don't deserve anything. You're not going to get any reward. Everything you do is shaloi l'shem shemayim. The whole world is corrupt. The government is corrupt. It takes a lot of might to suffer the consequences. The ultimate whistleblower in Chazal is Rashbi, and Rashbi here is described as Nezar Bigvura Uvil Mulchemes Eish Das Hashar Torah. You fought the Mulchem of Torah. Everything that you said came from Das Torah. Okay, you talk about Das Torah, in Eish Das. Eish Das really is the code word, the Makar for Das Torah. Just backwards. Eish is the fire, Torah is called fire, and Das is the law of Torah. Everything you said about the government was with the Mulchama HaShaar, HaShaar means the gate of the city, the seat of government. You're willing to battle the seat of government with your Das Torah, with Gevura, you were not afraid of them, to say it the way it is. I mean, obviously, we don't really appreciate this, so we just think it was a little conversation they had, and they were in the basement, they were having a conversation, and the NSA was eavesdropping, and they obviously there's a lot more depth in the Gemara, what was going on in this conversation between them.
Maybe the Avos and Moshe, they said things to extricate themselves from difficult situations,
and Rash
politics.
Imri no achosiyat. And we know Achaz, right? All them, right?
Yaakov would the same with
Rashbi was a straight shooter.
But he never once faltered.
Never faltered. He said it the way it is. He was not a diplomat. He would not be accepted as a diplomat. He wouldn't lie. You're right, and you're both right. How could you be right? You be right. You're both right, and you're also right.
Ultimate person at the zero step.
And that's what it means over here. Bigvura nezarta. You girded yourself with gvura. V'muchemes eich das hashara. You went to a war with the koch of fire at the gate of the city with the government. V'cheref haitzesa mitar. You released your sword from the sheath. Shalafta neged soirecha. And you drew your sword against your enemies. You fought a battle. Okay, next one. Now we go to something that's way out, which I have no idea what this means. Limkoim avne shaya shigat. Chazal said that in the highest heaven, when they talk about the four people, Nichnas Lepardes, it mentions there this thing called the avne shayish. They are stones of marble. And those stones of marble, they're very dangerous. Avne limkoim avne shaya shigat. You've reached the place of the Limkoim Avne Shayish. You've reached the place of the Avne Shayish. You've reached Ufne Arye Layish. You've seen the face of the lion. What's the lion? The Kisei HaKavod. On the Kisei HaKavod, one of the four images etched onto the Kisei HaKavod is the lion. You've seen it. Now, this, I don't know what this means. Kam Gulas Koiseres Al Ayish. Ayish is a constellation. It's a constellation which was used at the time of the Mabul to bring the Mabul, to stop the Mabul. You will know the secrets. Gulas means the secrets of the crown which rests upon the Layish, or the Ayish, of this constellation. These are Kabbalistic terms. Tashuri, you have seen it all. You have seen all these things. Umi Yeshurecha, who can possibly see such things? You have accomplished the impossible by understanding these deep mystical things. Okay, next. The Kodesh HaKadosh, again, more mystical things. Yeah? Shayish. 610 plus the three letters is 613. Okay, fine. You understand the site of the 613 mitzvahs. B'kodesh HaKadoshim. You have reached the Holy of Holies. Okay, whatever that means in this context. Now, these Kav Yerok. Kav Yerok, the Gemara talks about the Kav Yerok. The Kav Yerok refers to the Maisa Bereshis. We're talking over here of Maisa Bereshis, the Choshech. The Choshech al Pene Sehom. The Gemara says, or maybe it's a Medrash, is that the Choshech that starred al Pene was can be found in this thing called the Kav Yerok. No idea what this means. But the only thing that we take out of this is that this green line is a reference to creation. You understand the secrets of Maisei Bereishis. Mechadesh Chadashim. You understand the secret of time. How time works. The monthly cycle. You understand the Sheva Shabbosos, another concept of time. Sot Chamishim, 7 times 7, how all time interacts, 50. You understand creation, 7 days, 7 times 7, 50. Kosharta Kishrei Shin Kishorecha, and you've tied the tefillin to your head. We discussed yesterday, you are greater than Moshe. Moshe only got to see the dalet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin. You already tied to your head the shin, v'rosh shem Hashem v'nikro lecha v'yonim yimeka. You've tied to your head the shem Hashem of the tefillin, whatever this means. Okay, next. Next one is also very mystical. Yud Chochma Kiduma. I don't know what this means, the Kabbalistic term, that in Kabbalah there's a Yud Keduma. The letter Hashem's name begins Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Yud that came before the world. There's every letter, the smallest part of the letter is a Yud. It's the smallest letter in the world in the Alapes, and there's a Yud Keduma that came before the world existed. You know what it's all about.
Yud.
Yeah?
It's point to my rock. Yud is really just a point.
A point, okay.
It means it's
the point of creation.
It's not
Kuli Ruchni. It's not yet been a tsura. It does not have a tsura form. Yud Chochma Keduma. The Yud Chochma Keduma. You know. Hishkavta Lichvuda Penima. Okay, Lichvuda Penima is a term that we refer to women, Nashim. You know the secret of women. No, that's not what it means. Okay, that's not what it means. No one knows that. No one can get into their mind. Even women don't know. But it says, say you understood hishkafta. You were able to gaze lechvuda panima. I don't know what this means, but it means a kind of
notion. To the inside by the
kisei hakavod. What's inside? Again, this is a term which is used in reference to kol kvuda bas melech penima. So the fact that it's being used over here must have some significance in why we're describing the Shechina as this term of kvuda penima. Now here's pure Kabbalah. Lamed beis nesivos reishis truma. You understood the 32 paths of truma. Truma means the purest wisdom. Rashbi said about himself that he has in his possession the truma of Rabbi Akiva. He has the purest Torah knowledge from Rabbi Akiva.
It was his Rebbe.
And here it says there are 32 paths. I saw in the Masifta it says, what's the 32? He just quotes Sifrei Kabbalah. There are 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, and there are 10 Sefiros. That's why there are 10 different stanzas. So 20, whatever this to me, this is all 22 letters plus the 10 Sefiros equals 32, and that's what the Kabbalists mean when they talk about this term called the 32 Nesivas. No clue. At Kiruv, now this is a nice concept. This is something we can relate to a little bit. At Kiruv, you are a Kiruv, like in the Kodesh HaKadosh Nekruvim, Mimshach that's been anointed, Ziv Pur is Oirech. Now this means, in a very similar level, you protect us. In your Zuchus, the Zuchus of Rashbi is Negin. The Zuchus of Torah protects. The person learns Torah, it is a protection for him. Rashbi's Torah is so great, it's as if that Rashbi is spreading his wings over the entire world and protecting the world from destruction. Beautiful expression. You are Kruv Mimshach. Just like Moshachta, the beginning of the period is Moshachta Shem and Sosa Mechaverecha. You are a Kruv that's been anointed. Ziv Erecha, your life is pure, and in that pure light of the Kruv, we are all sheltered. Okay, the next piyut, or Mufla Rumayla, I don't know what this means, a wondrous light that has ascended to the highest heaven. Yoresim Elhabit Kiravla, you went all the way to Shemaim, and you saw things and you were afraid to look at. You saw secrets of this world which even you were not allowed to look at. Taluma V'ayin Karula, it's called hidden, and Ayin. This exalted level of Kedusha is called by the name Ayin. Ayin means it doesn't exist, meaning that it's beyond understanding. Karula, it's called Namta. Namta, it's said about this mystical thing of the highest Kabbalah, Ayin Loi Tishurech, and I never saw it. And you reached already at that level. Okay, these obviously, these last two lines are so way out. As we mentioned yesterday, this piyut fell into disuse. It used to be said in some communities every Friday night. Every Friday night, Kabbalah Shabbos, and then it says here in the Sun, they stopped saying it because they said, who are we fooling? We have no idea what these words mean. These words are way out, and therefore let's not abuse the sanctity of this piyut because of these lines. These lines over here are too hard on really the last three. The Kavya, Roik, what are all these things? Okay, the last line is very practical, very down to earth. It's a very beautiful expression. It really comes from what Klal Yisrael, the bracha, they gave Shlomo HaMelech at the time of the Chanukah Samikdash. Beautiful expression. Ashrei Yoladitecha. Praiseworthy is your mother. What a mother. A mother was zeicha to have a child like you. Ashrei ha'am heim loimdecha. Fortunate and praiseworthy are the people who learn your Torah. Right, very simple to translate. The ashrei ha'am dem al sedecha. Praiseworthy are those that understand the secrets of Torah, which you have revealed to us. Levushei choshen, those people who wear the choshen. The people who wear the Torah around their body. Tumecha v'urecha, the Urim v'tumim. I once heard someone give a compliment to someone, and then someone said to me, did you hear what he said? He gave this person the ultimate compliment. What was the compliment? Go ask this person, he's the Urim v'tumim. So beautiful, means whatever he said, the guy, he has gvaldika chochma, gvaldika pikchus. You have a shayla, you have a dilemma in life, ask him. He'll tell you what to do. It's whatever he says, it's like the Urim V'Tumim. It's like Hashem is speaking to you, the lights are lighting up. So he concludes over here, Levusha, the Talmidei Chachamim, who wear the Choshen. The Choshen here in this context means who wear the Torah that you have revealed to us, the Torah that you have taught us. It's the Choshen, they're living a life of Urim V'Tumim through the Koyach of Torah. You'll always know what to do in life. You'll always be able to have a solution. Okay, that concludes the verse. I just want to conclude with one drush, a very just short drush to finish up at a time. I want to finish a beautiful drush from Rav Pinchas Friedman. Rav Pinchas Friedman is a Belzer Chassid. He writes a column in the newspaper, in one of the Haredi newspapers in Eretz Yisrael. He learns Becharusa every day with the Belzer Rebbe. He's a tremendous Talmid Chacham. His focus, his forte is drush, machshava, and Remes. He wrote many Sram, they're all called Shevilei Pinchas. One of his favorite topics is Lag BaOmer. This is probably his favorite topic. The proof is he wrote a whole sefer just on Lag BaOmer, 68 Mamorim. Very complicated, Kabbalistic Mamorim on Lag BaOmer. A lot of the stuff is way over my head, but there's one thing that I found to be pleasant, and I want to share it with you. It's a drush. It's drush plus plus. It's not very literal, but it has a little tom. You all know the famous Daf Yomi Gemara. What is the classic scene for Daf Yomi? It was said by the Sima Shas, probably one of the years ago. I don't remember the source. I think Rav Meir Shapiro said this part. The Gemara end of Masech Divamis Daf Kuf Kuf Aleph. And the story there is Rabbi Akiva, who really, Rash today is the day of Rabbi Akiva. Lag BaOmer is the Rebbe of Rashbi, Rabbi Akiva. What was the Maisa there? Tanya, Omar Rabbi Akiva. One time, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Pamachas Hayisi Mahalach B'Svina. I saw a Svina. Pamachas Hayisi Mahalach B'Svina. I was going on a boat. V'Reisi Svina Achas. I'm reading the wrong Gemara. I'm sorry. Pamachas, here he is. Here's the story. Tanya, Omar Rabban Gamliel. Okay, Rabban Gamliel said, Pamachas, one time, Hayisi Mahalach B'Svina. V'Reisi Naz. I was traveling. I saw outside the window. I saw there was another boat traveling. Sinachas shenishpara, and that boat was torn apart. It broke, and the boat was sinking. And I knew from my sources on that boat was the Halakha Rabbi Akiva. He was the passenger. The Hayisi mitstaher al Talmud Chacham Shaba Umanu, who was the Talmud Chacham on the boat, Rabbi Akiva. And I thought he had perished. Uchashe Alisi by a bosh, when I came to dry land, Ba, look at that. I found him. He was in the Beis Medrash. Ba, v'yoshev v'don l'fanai b'halacha, and he was teaching halacha. V'don l'fanai. Amartle, b'ni, I saw you perish. I saw the ship sink. Mi he'alacha, who brought you up from the sea? Amar li, so he said the famous line, Daf shel sfina nizdamenli, aboard of the boat nizdamenli, the boat sank, but I grabbed onto a board, the Galvigal, vigal, and every time a wave came, I rose shabolai nenesi leiroshai. I rose with the wave and I survived. Mikan amr chachamim kavenek fanadaz. So along comes Rav Pinchas Friedman. He says this gemara is a marshal for Lag BaOmer. It's the marshal for Yimei Sfira. And the Yimei Sfira, we mourn the Yimei Sfira, the tragic petira of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, not the Pashpashan, the Gemara was not a passenger. He was the captain of the ship. Rabbi Gamliel was traveling, and he saw across from his window with another ship. And on that ship, there were 24,000 Talmidim traveling on that ship. You think the Titanic is big? There were 24,000 Talmidim traveling on that ship. And on that ship, the captain of the ship was Rabbi Akiva. And I saw the ship sink. I saw the 24,000 Talmidim of the ship perish. And I figured, what's going to be with the captain? It's a captain without a ship. The captain survived. But what's going to be? The captain doesn't have any Talmidim. I forget it. He may have survived. I heard reports that the captain survived, but he's probably in a retirement home. He probably is a depressed old man, broken the loss of his ship and his captains. What's going to be with him? And then, lo and behold, I come into the Beis Medrash, and there he is, fresh, vibrant. He's Don Lefanai. He's learning before me. I see he's sitting with five Talmidim, with Rashbi, I've got all the names, the five Talmidim. He started fresh with Talmidim. I said to him, I said to him, Bini mi halacha, how did you survive? How did you survive the Khorban? How were you able to have the courage to renew yourself? So he said, this is where the Jewish really gets thin. where you have to be creative, and I'm sure you have to work on this Gemara. Daf shel svina nizdamenli. You're right, I was depressed. But after the Khorban, I found one particular Talmud that made all the difference to me. And that was Rashbi. Rashbi is the Daf shel svina. He was a remnant. He was the She'eris HaPleita. He didn't die. Lag BaOmer is the day when he started fresh. The Talmidim did not die. This daf, he wasn't a Sfina. He was a daf. This is Rashbi. And this Talmud, who I saw had within him the koyach to be mamshech, the Mesorah, to the next generations, he's what gave me the chizuk to go forward and to teach him. Yikom olam da'i hiskalti. And therefore, here's the drush, this fits very well. The chol gal v'gal sheboilai, every year in Lag BaOmer, gal is lag, it's lag. Every year in Lag BaOmer, nenesi l'roshai, I bow my head before, either you can say before the Ribbono shel Olam, or I bow my head before Rashbi, I bow my head before the Stav shel Sfina that gave me the koyach, even though my Sfina, my boat, my crew, my people, my 24,000 Talmidim have perished. Lag BaOmer, they stopped dying, and my one Talmid, my Daf shel Sfina, my one new Daf shel Sfina gave me the koyach to go weiter and to rebuild. This was worth everything, and every Lag BaOmer, gal v'gal that comes through the yearly cycle, I give shevach v'hoida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for such a Talmid who is able to continue to allow me to give over the Mesorah to the next generations. This is the beauty of Lag BaOmer. It's the gal v'gal nenesi lo yireshai. You bow your head to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we have a wonderful Lag BaOmer. Mishem, see you tomorrow.